Jerba.
Okay, here we go. We're at Makkos Yud Beis Amud Beis 12B. This thing is just taking a while for it to get cracking here. Second line from the top. We're just going to retrace our steps. Remember, we had a contradiction between our Mishnah and a Mishnah in Maestros, and then we show there's a contradiction even within Maestros. The main question is, oh, I lost my props. If a tree is hanging over the border, remember? And if you go by the branches, or do you go by the borderline? And the issue was, it seems to be conflicting, both regarding an Ir HaMiklot, a city of refuge. If the branch is extending over, does it extend the city of refuge to protect the killer or not? Or we go the other way, where if the branch is on the branches on the outside, and the trunk is on the inside, do we say the whole tree goes with the outside? You could kill the fellow outside. And if the branch was on the inside, then even what's outside would save the killer. Same thing regarding the laws of Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, that you must eat the Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim, and you can only redeem it outside Yerushalayim. Seem to be conflicting brisos regarding, do we go just with the border, and the border is the answer, and that's it. It has nothing to do with where the tree lines up, or a cave opening, same thing. Or do we go with the branches? Want to say there was a difference in Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says you go after the branches. And we'll just say with that brisa that says we go after the branches, Rabbi Yehuda, the one that doesn't say you go after the branches goes according to the rabbis. And that's where we thought we could leave it. And then we end it off with a question, and we're going to repeat the question now. And basically, Mor is going to say, how do you know that Rabbi Yehuda says that we go exclusively with the branches all the time? Maybe you're only going to go after the branches to be strict, but not to be lenient. And means we don't always go after the branches. Maybe only some of the time you go after the branches regarding Maaser Sheni, and the same thing would be regarding a city of refuge. So that's where we're up to right now. Amor, perhaps, and this is the question, the Shamat Le Rabbi Yehuda, that which you heard with Rabbi Yehuda, you go after the branches. Gabai Meiser, okay, we're on 12B. It should be the first one. It should be the first 12B. We're only on the second line from the top. So it should be 12B1. 12B1. It should be like either the second or third line in. Yep. Amor. Deshamat Leila Rabbi Yehuda. Perhaps the only thing you heard Rabbi Yehuda said is law that you go after the branches, guy, for Meiser Sheni Lechumra, to take Meiser Sheni only to be astringency as follows. And this, but not to be lenient. So therefore, let's say like this. Ikaro Bachutz, if the tree's trunk is on the outside of the wall, Yerushalayim, Vinofo Bifnim, and the branches are in the inside, then we'll be strict and we'll classify the entire tree as inside Yerushalayim, and therefore what can't you do? Kihechi de Minofo Lamasipar, just like you can't redeem Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, so you can't redeem it when it's in the branches that are outside of Yerushalayim. When the branches inside and the trunks on the outside will treat the tree like that, so you can't redeem it. So be Ikaro, the branch too, Nami Lomotzi Mifrik. You cannot redeem it at that point as well. So that would be the stringency where you're going after the branch, and the branch is inside, will give the stringency to Yerushalayim outside of Yerushalayim. And the reverse. And if Ikaro Bifnim, but if the trunk is on the inside, Venofo Bachutz, and the branch is on the outside, will be the stringency on the outside. Yeah. Since like on the outside, you can't eat the true the Meiser without redeeming it first. You'd have to redeem it first. You can't eat it inside Yerushalayim unless you redeemed it as well. So maybe he only says to go strict. Now, if you're going to go strict, but to be lenient, not. So then we'll say the same thing, maybe he also will say by an Ir HaMiklot, which will only say the Nof, we go after the Nof to be strict, but not to be lenient. And therefore we can't say across, but remember we originally thought that we go after the branches no matter what the halacha will be. Right. If the branches were outside, then even if the guy was inside by the trunk, you could kill him inside. Right. That's a leniency, mm-hmm. right? But when the branch is on the inside, then on the outside, okay, that would be a stringency. You can't kill him when he's over there. But maybe he only said it to be strict, but not to be lenient. Yes. So therefore, Ela Lagabe Ere Amikla. So let's say by Ere Amikla, the same thing. Bishlema, that would be okay. Ikoro Bachutz, if the branch is on the outside. Vinofo Bifnim, and the trunk is on the outside, and the branch is on the inside. Then we'd be strict. Why? Just like when you're under the branches, lomatzi kotel, you can't kill him. Bikarinami lomatzi kotel. So therefore, on the outside, you couldn't kill him either. That would be strict. Maybe on to say strict, but not to be lenient. Ela bikar bifnim. But if the main branch, the main trunk is on the inside, v'nova b'chus, and the branch on the outside, you want to say the outside, so we'll make the whole thing like the outside, you can kill him? No. You want to say ki heche de b'nova matzikotle, if he be underneath by the branch outside, you can kill him. Bikara nami matzikotle, would you say that you could kill him there too? That would be a leniency. Who says he would say that? Hogavoy koi. But the trunk is physically inside the trum. So why would you permit him to kill? So maybe Rabbi Yehuda only said the laws to be strict, but not to be lenient. And that's where we ended off the question. And therefore, we have a problem with our Mishnah. The Mishnah, we thought the Mishnah was saying that Rabbi Yehuda says you always go after the branches. We're either strict or lenient. But how do we know he would say that from the Mishnah Brisus? You would not know that. Okay. Let's see what 13 is. No, I don't have to do that. Okay, forget that. So now the Gemara is going to give two answers, and they're basically conceding the question. Basically, conceding the question, and they're examining Rabbi Huda's position, and they really are conceding the point. Both answers basically saying the same thing, but just different way of looking at it. So Gemara proposed a way to align the Mishnah in Maestros with Rabbi Yehuda, despite the fact that the Mishnah states its ruling considers the city of refuge both where the trunk is outside and the branch is inside, and where the trunk is inside, the branch is outside. The Gemara addresses the case of a trunk tree whose trunk is inside the city and whose branches are outside. And let's look at this very interesting case. So Rava gives an answer. Maybe Be'ikara, if the killer is on its inside, which is inside the tree. Let's look at that, where the tree, the trunk is on the inside and the branches are on the outside. So everyone agrees, if the killer is by the trunk, which is inside the city, everybody agrees, the kuli alma lo pligi, everybody agrees, you cannot kill him. So right away you're seeing what? We don't go after the branches that are on the outside. That's right, out of the game. They both agree to that. That's not what they're arguing about. But, and also, koi binofo, and if the killer is in the branches which are outside the city, okay, v'yachol lahargo b'chitzim u'betzros, and you guy could kill him if he shot arrows or threw rocks at him, and he's outside of the city, t'kuli alma lo pligi d'motzokol, everyone says you could kill him. So therefore, it would seem that we're going strictly with the borderline. Mm-hmm. What was this thing where Yehuda said you go after the branches? It's a different case. It's a unique case. Ki pligi, where is their machlokas? B'mahave ikaro darga lenofo, where the only way the guy could kill him, this was the situation, by climbing up the trunk of the tree, and then from the trunk of the tree to kill the guy who's on the branch of the tree. In other words, one second, with regard to the trunk being a stepladder, so to speak, for the Redeemer of the Blood to reach the branches and kill the exile there. So in other words, he's going to kill him by the branches, but let's say all he has is a knife. So he has to do it contact with him. He can't shoot an arrow at him. He can't shoot a gun at him. Now, the question is like this. The killer's on the branches.
Right.
The only way he can reach the branches is by going up the trunk.
Yes.
But what if the trunk is on the inside of the city, but the branches are on the outside of the city? So let's see what happens. Where the main trunk is, so to speak, functioning as a stepladder for the fellow to kill him.
Right.
So Mar Savar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Havi Ikoro Darga Lenofo. He holds the trunk may be used as a stepladder to the branches. The Redeemer can enter the boundary of the city, climb the trunk in order to kill the exile on the branches outside the city, because that's what he means when we go after the branches. So, and when the branches are outside, therefore we'll consider the trunk can be used as a stepladder only to kill the guy outside, but not to kill the guy if he's by the trunk, because he's inside the city.
Yeah.
That's what Rehuda means to say you go after the branch. Not to say that the whole tree goes after the branch, but just that the base of the tree can go after the branch as a stepladder to kill him. And that's all. And that's what he holds. Umar Sover, but the rabbis who disagree say, Lo havi ikora dargalanofa. They say the trunk cannot be used as a stepladder reach a branch because the trunk is in the city of refuge. He can't go into the city of refuge to kill him. So therefore, when the Mishnah in Maestros, as well in our Mishnah, states regarding a tree with its trunk inside the city of refuge and its branches outside, when Rabbi Yehuda says, go by the location of its branches, this is what it means. That the Redeemer of the Blood may reach the branches by ascending the trunk inside the city. Period. It does not mean that we classify this tree as being entirely outside the city and allow an exile clinging to the trunk to be killed. It has nothing to do with it. Since the Mishnah is not propounding a leniency in classifying the tree, it can very well be in accord with Rabbi Yehuda's position. Because all Rabbi Yehuda was saying, if you could use the trunk as the stepladder or not. And he says, no, you can't. You can't use it to get into the city as a stepladder to kill the fellow outside the city, but never ever discuss that the entire tree itself is considered after the branches. And once we say that, then all the other things fit in real nicely. So that's answer number one. Affording, really, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't offer any law at all to say that we really, that the base goes after the branches at all.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's just a question, can you access the branches through the trunk?
Yeah.
But has nothing to do to tell me that the trunk is part of the branch at all. So that's answer number one. Rabbi Yehuda is offering no suggestion, according to this answer, that the base follows the branch. The second answer will say it does, but only to be strict and not to be lenient, as the question had already suggested. So now answer number two, Rav Ashi Omar, what did he mean when he said, my acharnof, what did Rabbi Yehuda mean when he said we go after the branches? Doesn't mean to say we go exclusively after the branches, that the tree is always considered after the branches, but it meant to say when it says acharnof, as an addition, af, add that word, af, even acharnof, even after the branches. In other words, we do not only do we classify a tree according to the location of its trunk, we sometimes even classify it according to the location of its branches. Sometimes, and only to be strict, as the questioner asked. According to this understanding, the Mishnah always teaches stringency, which means that we go by the branches when the trunk is outside, and therefore you can't kill them on the outside. And by the trunk, when the trunk is on the inside, that you can't kill him on the inside. It is thus in perfect accord with the view of Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah.
Rav Ashi, like Rava, agrees with Rav Kahana that our Mishnah and the Mishnah Maisers followed Rabbi Yehuda, while the Mishnah Maisers Sheni follows the rabbis. According to the rabbis, a tree is never classified according to the location of one's parts. It always goes by the boundary. That's the Chachamim. Okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's so classified only if this leads to a stringency. And that's it. As we said in the question when we started today, with regard to Meiser Sheni, what's the stringency? As we explained before, with regard that when it's the branch is on the outside, we say that you can't do anything, even the inside parts, because outside you can't redeem it inside. And when the branch is on the inside, we're strict as well. But so what about an ir hamikla? So and whose branch said the string said that a killer on the trunk is safe from attack, for the trunk is classified by the location of the branches. So if the trunk's on the outside and the branch on the inside, you can't kill him. That's a stringency. But not to make it a leniency that if the branches are on the outside and the trunk's on the inside, you can kill him on the inside, not as a leniency. Okay, that's what he said. However, Rav Ashi differs from Rava. Where's the difference? With regard to Rav Yehuda's ruling, the case of the tree whose trunk is located inside an ir hamiklan, whose branches are located outside. That's when the machlokas of the two answers are. Mm-hmm. Rav Ashi maintains that in this case, too, Rav Yehuda rules stringently by classifying the branch of the tree according to the location of the trunk. Since the trunk is inside, the branches too are regarded as if they are inside. Accordingly, a killer perched on the branches outside the city is regarded as inside the Eremikla and may not be killed by the Goladam. According to this understanding, the Mishnah is ruling stringency in both cases, where the trunk is inside and the branches outside, and vice versa. Yeah. Therefore, they are true to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, there's questions on that, but we're not going to take it any further than that. So those become the two answers for that issue. Okay, new Mishnah. Very easy Mishnah now. Now comes an interesting question. Okay, you're a killer, you're in a city of refuge. Good. What happens if you now, in the city of refuge, kill someone unintentionally?
In the city.
In the city. Now where do you go? You're in the city of refuge. What do you do now? And let's even ask another question. What if you're a Levi who just happens to be living in a city of refuge and you kill someone unintentionally in the city of refuge? Okay, so what do you do there? That becomes the next issue over here. Okay, that's the next Mishnah. Harag ba'osair. If the exile killer a second time now inadvertently kills someone in that city.
New city.
So not, but here's the problem. If he goes out of the city.
Yeah, you can make
it. You tell me what's the problem.
Let's say
he has to move from.
Kill him for the first time, the first crime.
What? Say it again?
You can kill him for the first time.
Right, so when he goes from Ir HaMiklat A to Ir HaMiklat B, what's going to happen? The first Goladam can kill him. So what's he going to do then?
Go back into the city, stay there.
So now we say, but so what are you going to say? So he doesn't go into exile at all?
Yeah. He's already in exile.
Ah, so is there another way we could potentially exile him without exiling him?
Okay.
The answer is yes. Gola, you switch neighborhoods. Gola mishkuna lishkuna. He's exiled from one neighborhood to another neighborhood. You know, just like, let's say, it wouldn't be, but let's say Toronto was an Eremikla. It wouldn't be halacha, it's too big. But let's say it was. So you lived in Thornhill, you'd have to move downtown.
Yeah.
And that's also not good because you're away from your chevra. I mean, you're still moving away. So it's from one neighborhood to another neighborhood. The exile he is undergoing for the first killing bars him from leaving the city. He's therefore unable to travel to a different city of refuge, so that serves as exile. Okay, now the Mishnah speaks of the exile killing someone in that city. But what if he leaves the city illicitly and kills someone outside? Does the Mishnah's ruling apply? That's a whole discussion of the rabbis.
No.
Anyway, he has to go from neighborhood to neighborhood. Vechein Levi, similarly, a Levite who kills in the city of refuge that he lives in already. Gola Meir Leir. He is exiled from a city, different city, because then it's like a regular exile.
Yeah.
Because he's not in the city as an exile.
First time offender.
So he has to leave. So that's no different than anybody first time killer. First time killer lives in Yerushalayim. Okay, so what do? He has to go to the Beis Din, and then after the Beis Din, he runs out.
Yeah.
And remember, the guy is not allowed to kill him until the Beis Din rules that he's killed unintentionally. Mm. Right? So in our first case, where it's the killer who kills, so now he can't go out of the city because the first goal of that will kill him. When the Levi kills, he can go out of his city because first it has to be ruled on him that he was an inadvertent killer, and then we give him two people to go with him till he gets to the new era.
He never killed the first time.
Right, the Levi's a first-time killer.
Okay, all right. That's okay.
So basically, we treat the Levi like a first-time killer.
First time.
While a second-time killer has to be treated like a second-time killer. Moore now wants to know a few just sources to all these halachas. Okay, so the Mishnah said, an exile who kills inadvertently is exiled from one neighborhood to another. So now we're going to see a parallel Mishnah. Okay, we learned in a Braisa regarding the psukim of the one who kills inadvertently, and this is the ones now in Sefer Shmos. Let's see the pasuk over here. 21, 30. I don't know why this is coming out so small now. Let me give you the other one. 1 second. Oh, I don't know if I have it. No, I don't have it. It's on the other. I'm sorry. It's still my other iPad. Okay, we'll just quote the words of the Braisa for now. Okay. Talks about it. He has a city of refuge. Says the Samti Lechamakom, and I will set for you a place that you can run. I'm giving you an Iramiklet. So the Bryce is now going to look at every word and analyze each word to understand what it's teaching from us. First word is Visamti Lecha. I will set for you. Now, what does that mean? I will set for you. It means Bichayecho, in your lifetime, meaning in Moshe's lifetime. What was Hashem saying? Hashem was telling Moshe that he himself would have an opportunity to designate at least some of the cities of refuge. That's what he's telling him. Now, the pasuk here is talking to Moshe. Oh, there in Sefer Shmos, Hashem is talking to Moshe. God taught Moshe this when he was at Sinai, and when he said, I will set for you, to indicate to Moshe that he would have the opportunity to participate in this mitzvah. And indeed, at the end of the 40 years of wandering, he did separate three cities on the east bank. However, the ability of these three cities to afford refuge was delayed until the other three in Eretz Yisrael worked out. So really, he wasn't really doing that much. But we'll see. In your lifetime, we're going to see more. Makom, it says a place. That's the next word in the pasuk. So what does it mean, a place? So the Braisa learns, mimchoma, in your place. In your lifetime, I will place in your place. What does it mean, your place? The city of refuge will be where you live, Moshe. And here's the point. What would happen if somebody would have inadvertently killed while they were in the desert? In the 40 years in the desert.
Yes.
Where is that city?
What would happen then?
There was no city of refuge.
So what would happen if somebody killed inadvertently?
Outside of the clouds?
Well, inside the clouds.
If he goes outside the clouds.
Goes through the shades.
That's not going to protect him. So let that, in other words, that's what they're talking about right now. What protection could, what do you do?
Yeah.
And what protection do you have under those circumstances? So he say, you will place a city of refuge from your place, which means where did Moshe live? Remember how the camps were divided?
Right.
So the camps were divided with 12 camps all around. Right, but then you had the inside was the Mishkan, right? It was the center. And then what was just outside the Mishkan? Were the Levite camps. Gershon, Kahas, Merari. Three camps over there. So now Hashem is saying the Levite camps will be the city of refuge, just like many Levite camps were when they came into Israel. So the word Lecha, in the phrase Vesamti Lecha Makom, Lecha serves two functions. It's read both with the word that's before it, Vesamti Lecha, I will place in your lifetime, and then Lecha Makom. So in other words, you have two clauses. It's like combining the Lecha to make two clauses. Vesamti Lecha, I will set for you, and also Lecha Makom, for you a place. That latter clause teaches that refuge is found in the Levite camps. This is the reason that the six Ari Miklot are given to the Levites. It was because in the wilderness, the Ari Miklot was also Levite camp. So that's the second lesson we see, that Moshe, you will in your lifetime set up Levite camps, and where will you right away in your lifetime? During the 4 years, within your camp, where you live will be a Levite camp. Now the next two words in the clause, Asher Yanus Shama, to which he shall flee. What does that teach us? We see that a Jew who killed during the 40 years in the wilderness would also go to exile. Yeah. So now the simple pshat is like this. The pasuk says, Lecha Makom, right? But what is the purpose of this place? So the pasuk, it doesn't tell you what it's doing yet. You will make a place for what? Now you see, Asher Yanu Shama, to which the inadvertent killers go to. Okay, that would be the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. That's what he's saying. You, in your lifetime, when we're in the desert, if someone should kill him inadvertently, he's going to run to a Levite city, which is right in the desert. That's the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. However, from Ritva, it appears that this segment of the verse teaches that Israelites were also exiled in the wilderness, as differentiated from Levim. Okay, we will see in the following note that the verse's earlier clause tells that Levim underwent exile in the wilderness. This clause teaches that also those who would need to flee to the Levite camp who did not live there were obligated to do so. Okay, so what are we saying here? So that's the pshat. So now the question is, Lahechan Megalim. So now where did he exile them? Right? So the answer is Lamachana Levia, to the Levite camp. Okay.
So the Levite camps were stationary. They weren't moving.
Well, let's put it. No, when they were camped, they were stationary. When they were moving, they're still moving as a camp. Everyone moved by their group. So if a guy killed inadvertently, he stayed with the Levites. And when they camped, he camped with them. They moved. He moved with them within their group. Everybody kept their still, their formation, as it were. So Megalin Lamach Levia, so he goes to the Levite camp. That's the Brisa, which concludes Mikanum from here. From this verse, the rabbis concluded, Ben Levi Shaharag, a Levi who kills, Gola Miplach Laplach. He has to go from city to a different city. How do you see this? This is known from the words, I will set for you a place. Now he's talking to you, Moshe. For you refers to Moshe and Tel Aviv. You guys have a place to run, meaning you're Levim. It is Levim who already live in the cities of Levite cities, must remain exiled if they kill inadvertently. I will create a place for you. However, a Levite cannot simply remain sequestered in his home in his Levite city, for exile demands that he leaves his place.
Right.
Therefore, he must travel to another city of refuge. That's what it's saying.
Another Levite.
Yeah. So if you are Gershon, Kahas, and Merari, right? Yeah, so maybe if you were in the Kahas camp, you go to the Merari camp. Mm. Or even within them, there were, and that's Pelechva, from city to city. Okay, a different city of refuge.
Right.
Okay, now, V'im Gola Lepilcho, Pilcho Koklo. But if went into exile in his own city, meaning in a different neighborhood in his city, Bidyeved, what happens? Pilcho Kolto, his city would afford him refuge.
So
in other words, he's supposed to. No. Yes. So even though it's supposed to be, but it would help him. In other words, whether he moves to the city or only to another neighbor in his own city, he has fulfilled the requirement of exile.
That's interesting.
When the Brisa and the Mishnah speak of leaving for another city, they're not obligating him to do so. They're simply presenting his best option. If he's exiled to a different city, he's permitted to move about throughout the city. So let me explain to you. When the Mishnah says he goes to the city, not that he has to, but he can and it's better for him. Why? If you go to another city, you can go in the whole city. But if you're staying in your city and you're going from one neighborhood to another neighborhood, then you're limited just to the neighborhood in the city.
All the time.
Yeah.
You can't even go to a movie in the other part of the
city. That's right, because if that's how you're fulfilling your exile. So therefore the Mishnah is saying, best option, go from this city into another Levite city, because then you have a whole city to be in. That's, we're not saying you have to, but that's your best option. But if you want to just stay in one little neighborhood, four or five blocks, and that's it, you could do that too.
Neighborhood arrest.
Right? Then only, but if he opts to remain in his own city, he's restrict the neighborhood he desires. That's all the brackets ending. This permit for a Levi to move to a different neighbor in his own city is not being derived from the verse expounded by the Brisa. The Gemara will shortly inquire about its source. Fine. Now, if the killer violates his exile to a new neighborhood, the Goladam may kill him.
What do you mean violates?
If he goes to a different neighborhood, if he goes to one neighborhood and then goes to another one, then he can kill him. It means you can go from neighborhood A to B.
Which you said that it affords him a refuge.
That, but if he'll leave this neighborhood to another neighborhood afterwards, he can't do that. Once he exiles out to neighbor, whatever one he's in, he's stuck in there. And then he can't go out of there. Yeah.
So now this guy has two shogeg murders on his hand. The first Gol Adam can only stay outside.
You're not talking about a Levi now. You're talking about a regular person. Let's not mix the two up.
Right. Levi. Yeah, for the first case, yeah.
So you still have a question?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the question?
The guy,
a regular
one,
killer?
One guy, he killed outside of the Ir Miklat, and then he killed the second guy inside the Ir Miklat. The first Gol Adam can only kill him outside the city, and the second Gol Adam can only kill him in the neighborhood.
He can kill him until he gets... You're talking about a regular killer. Until he gets to
the other city. He killed twice.
Until he gets to the other city. He can't go to another neighborhood.
Oh, he doesn't... The other
only a Levite. Okay. Only a Levite. Only a Levite.
Don't get mixed up.
Okay. Now, Amar Rav Acha, Breder Rav Ika. So now, this Braisa teaches that a Levite exile within his own city is afforded refuge. Amar says that the same of an Israelite killer exiled within his city of refuge, right? That he has to leave. The Gemara now wants to know the source for that. Summer of Achabre de Rav Ika, Micro, what's the Pasuk that says that this teaching? It says, Pasuk ends, Kiba ir mikloto yeshev, for he must dwell in his city of refuge. That means that refuge is possible even in Ir Sheklata Sokvar, a city that has already afforded him refuge, the city to which he was previously exiled. Since the entire passage deals with exile to a city of refuge, it would have sufficed that the verse simply said, for he must dwell there. By repeating the phrase, in his city of refuge, why are you repeating those words? The verse indicates an additional law, that even his own city of refuge will harbor him if he is exiled to another neighborhood within the city. This is Bidiyeved. This verse speaks of an inadvertent killer who killed again while in the city of refuge. We extrapolate from here to the case of the Levite who killed inadvertently in his hometown. In that case, two exiled to another part of the city protects him. So therefore we're saying he should leave the city, but he could also stay in another neighborhood within the city of refuge. That's what it's telling us to that. According to the alternative, we don't need the alternative explanation. So it comes out, at the end of the day, even though the guy goes to another city, but Bidiyevit, he can go to another neighborhood as well. So because if he's in a different neighborhood, it's still an inflicting upon him. Although the recommended practice, go to another city, because you have a lot more area. But this fellow can't. In other words, the regular Jew who killed, really what? If he's going to go to another city, he can get killed right on the spot, right? So better go to another neighborhood. And that's where we derive to go to another neighborhood. A Levite never has to leave the city. He just can go. He should leave another city, he'd be protected, and it gives him more options.
Yeah.
But he stays in the neighborhood. So again, to review, a killer who killed a second time goes to another neighborhood. Why? Because if he goes to another city, he's going to get killed on the spot by the first Redeemer.
Yeah.
So therefore, he really is going to suffer his whole life by being cut into a very small neighborhood. Nothing else we could do. And you killed twice already, so you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
A Levite, who's first-time killer, right? Really, it would be better he goes to another city. Not that he has to, but it's better because you have a whole city to live in and you'll have protection till you get to that city. But if you want to just go from neighborhood to neighborhood, you can do that too. Although that will limit how far you can go. Okay, tomorrow is a Mishnah, new Mishnah. I'll tell you the other parak, and I'll ask Erez to give the class tomorrow. Because I'll be in Hamilton for the Bris. So and that's good, because the Mishnah goes short till the end of the Perek, and then on Thursday we'll start the new Perek, and I'll get new books. I have new books already.
Oh,
we're good.
All this is good that the Redeemers know all this.